Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay. So, I mean, speaking of that, I was watching I was watching the Iowa caucus eye last night. Yeah, just, you know, who knows? I mean, really, Joe.
It's always a crapshoot, and that's why we want to bring somebody who knows.
Can actually deal with it.
Yeah, and it's good. Our friend, Professor Ken Long from the University of St. Joe's, Professor of History and Poli-Sci. Ken, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Ken.
Good morning. I'm well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks. Always good to have you. So we still don't know who the winner is. Everything's up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
How does this impact New Hampshire, since it's the next primary? Or does it impact it at all? Is Iowa such a weird duck that it doesn't impact anything else that goes on?
No, it'll impact New Hampshire now. It has one fewer days in which to do so. Yeah. Maybe more than that. We'll see if the results actually do come out today. Essentially, you get a sense of who's in the picture and who really isn't after Iowa. In New Hampshire this year, there are an extraordinary number of undecided voters at this point.
Really?
And a lot of those voters are going to aim towards a candidate that they think really has a shot. And they're going to use the results in Iowa to pay attention to some and less attention to others. So it is a big deal, and that's the reason why candidates spend so much time and so much money over those new delegates.
Yeah, and also in New... It's just a weird process to watch and somewhat confusing. And there's Jim Garrity, I guess, National Review, was criticizing this morning, saying, you know, here you are in front of all your neighbors. They know who you're voting for. Kind of gets rid of the secret ballot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does, but that's, I guess, the charm of it. I don't know that you can do this in California or in New York or Connecticut, but in Iowa it seems to work. And it also, I think, has a role to play when you have so many candidates. So you start out with this cattle charge of what did we have
21
candidates to begin with. By a caucus night, we were down to maybe 10, 6 maybe were viable potentially. So at that point, even with a crowd of 6 and with 10 to in the conversation, having a second choice is important. Now, you could do that with other balloting. We don't use that in the United States, but other countries have a second choice that you register on your ballot. You don't need to have conversations with your neighbors to do it. But there is a certain charm and old-fashioned approach to having your friends and neighbors and associates there to say, oh, come on, join our candidate.
Here, have a cookie.
Has there ever been any talk of changing the format there?
There has been, but it usually doesn't get very far.
Yeah.
I think it's tied to the argument that Iowa should come first, and Iowa doesn't want to come third or 12th because it has this unique old-fashioned approach to doing politics. So they want to keep it, brings in a lot of money and attention to the state that wouldn't be the case otherwise. And I think if they were to eliminate the caucus approach in favor of a regular primary, they wouldn't be first any longer.
And of course, I'm sure all the media is for it. So, you know, lots of advertising. So there's that too.
Oh, sure.
You know, but I think the other thing that's kind of weird, just very, Ken, looking at a historical perspective, how much does it mean? You know, one of the things I read today, and like nobody knows anything, but from what I understand, people who were observing the various cockeye found that Joe Biden didn't really get all that much support, you know, which now you kind of go, well, it's the people who are really committed, like the people who are into Bernie and stuff like that.
Right. But I think you're getting a sense, and I could be wrong about this, but I think you're getting a sense that Vice President Biden is not a lot stronger than he was on his other failed attempts to win the Democratic nomination for president. That may be the big story. You know, we have yet to see any certified results. We know how the campaigns are responding, and Buttigieg and Sanders are sending messages that they think they did really well and maybe won. And Warren's saying it's close, and I'm not seeing anything coming out of of Biden's campaign. And my suspicion is, if that's an accurate representation of what the inside scoop is, that he finished fourth, and maybe a distant fourth at that. And if that's the case, I think for a lot of the potential candidates who might want to dig into what would otherwise be Biden votes, they're sensing something like blood in the water. And are going to step forward and be more aggressive about trying to finish off Biden earlier rather than later. That would be good news for Mike Bloomberg, who I think wants to position himself as the centrist candidate in the field. But let's see. We'll see how it turns out when we actually do get some information. But my suspicion this morning is that Biden didn't do well and that this is trouble for his campaign.
But we have examples, don't we, Ken, of people not doing well in Iowa and going on and getting the nomination. So it's not a death knell.
It is not. But I don't think you've had anybody who ever won Iowa and New Hampshire both and didn't get the nomination.
Okay.
It's not in a long time. So you got to turn it around relatively quickly. Now we're looking at trends from ancient history in a sense, because now we've moved so many primaries up so early that when we get to like March 3rd, Super Tuesday, we're going to have like 40% of all the delegates selected on that single day, including California now. So you don't have the kind of recovery time that you used to have.
And I think, Ken, I think there's a sense amongst Democrats in particular, if you remember last time around when Bernie's taken on Hillary, and you'd get like he'd win like 60-50 in New Hampshire, and yet when he got to the delegate count, he got fewer delegates. So, I mean, a lot of people are really hacked off about that, and apparently they're going back to the same rule, or they're trying to. A handful.
The question here is the superdelegates.
So yeah, that's what I'm talking about, yes.
Yeah, it had about 500 superdelegates now. And indeed, the Sanders campaign pushed hard to change the rules to try to make sure that they wanted to eliminate them altogether. They couldn't do that. They got them to not be able to ballot on the first vote at the convention. But the superdelegates are still a big issue. As we think back to that previous campaign, it's worth remembering that Clinton still beat Sanders just in the primaries.
Yeah.
It was close.
Right.
Yeah.
And now where Sanders campaigners had a complaint was if we weren't looking at the superdelegate count, it would have seemed much closer to voters, and Sanders would have done a little bit better, and that's all he really needed to win more primary votes than she received.
All right. Well, it's a fine mess, and thankfully we have you to sort it out for it.
This morning I'm reminded of Will Rogers, who said, I'm not a member of any organized political party. I'm a Democrat.
Exactly right.
Exactly. Thanks, Ken.
The Big Ten.
Appreciate
it.
Ken Long, professor of history and poli-sci at the University of St. Joseph's.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.